Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
When I was growing up in church, especially as a teenager, I actually resented coming to church and especially to youth service. I mean, as a teenager living under my parents' roof, I had no choice but to abide by their wishes. And the reason why I always dread coming to youth service was for this reason, that despite our numbers being almost 100, I had little or no friends. For the first few years, I was actually blessed because I had good facilitators, and I still remember these facilitators until today. Uncle Alan Gam, Zhao Kun, Bun Yao, Ben Wong, still remember them. These guys were really good to me in the early years. But other than that, I had trouble finding friends. And eventually, when I became Form 3, most of them weren't around anymore, and it was difficult coming to a place where nobody would talk to me. In my high school, it was quite the opposite. I had no problems making friends in school, but every Saturday when I came for a youth service, it was very difficult for me. In fact, when I was Form 4, I couldn't take it anymore. My parents would drop me here in church, but I would walk 20 minutes to the shopping district around Jaya Shopping Center. I would go to a cyber cafe, play some Counter-Strike, and then come back here at 6 for my parents to pick me up. All right, so friends, although looking back then, it was good times, but actually that frustration and that anger because of loneliness eventually became a grudge. And when I was 18 to 21 years old, I found myself in a season where I actually resented PJEFC. But thankfully, the Lord has been good. And when I was convicted to forgive and to reconcile with PJEFC when I was 21 years of age, I still remember this until today, my very first altar call. Pastor Soon Hock was preaching, all right? Yeah, so God has been good to me. And also in recent years, under the past leadership of Reverend Alexa and currently Pastor Priscilla, the culture in our youth group, Impact, has changed to be more inclusive. It's still not perfect, but it's so much better than when I was a young person. But here is the point, friends. Nobody likes to be lonely. And it's possible to be lonely even when you're in a big crowd. Now, church, I believe that among those of us listening, whether you're tuning online or whether you're physically here this morning, some of you might be feeling lonely. And friends, if this is you, my prayer is that the Word of God will give you hope and encouragement, that it will drive us as a church, as a community, to be more mindful of those that feel alone. Today's passage is taken from Psalm 88. Let me read the passage for us this morning. Psalm 88. This is the prayer of a lonely and desperate man. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you by day. I come to you at night. Now listen to my prayer. Listen to my cry. For my life is full of troubles and death draws near. I am as good as dead. I am as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in a grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrown me into the lowest pit, into the darkest depth. Your anger weighs me down, and wave after wave you have engulfed me. You have driven my friends away by making me repulsive to them. I am in a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by my tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my hands to you for mercy. Are your wonderful deeds of any use to the dead? To the dead, rise up and praise you. Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? Can they proclaim your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Can the darkness speak of your wonderful deeds? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? O Lord, I cried out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? I have been sick and close to death since my youth. I stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have paralyzed me. They swirl around me like flood waters all day long, and they have engulfed me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones, and darkness is my closest friend. Friends, we know that the Bible is God's word. is the will of God written for mankind. However, the book of Psalms is unique. It is a collection of songs, poems, and prayers by the people of Israel. And some of these psalms are very raw and very real. They are said by real people in their moment of need. And as such, we have in the Word of God a collection of the words, of the prayers, of the song of people to God. Think about this. In the Word of God, we have a collection of prayers, of words, of songs from people to God. And as such, friends, if there's anything the book of Psalms can teach us, it is this, that there is no such thing as a wrong prayer, that in our moment of anger, of disappointment, of sadness, of frustration, or hopelessness, it is perfectly fine to voice out our true feelings to God, just like the psalmist has done. Let us begin our sermon with a word of prayer. O Lord, the God of our salvation, we come to you this morning. Some of us are joyful, some of us are glad, but we know, Lord, there are many among us who feel different, who feels that things are hopeless, who feels frustrated at life. And also among us are those who are lonely. So, Father, as we come to your feet, we ask that you speak to us, that you minister to us through the words of your servant, the psalmist, in Jesus' name. Amen. So for this morning's sermon, I will try to break it up into three parts. The first is an exposition on Psalm 88, where we will try to explore and to empathize with what the psalmist is going through. Following that, from the lessons and exhortation of this psalm, I have a word for our friends who are struggling with loneliness, and then we will end by reminding ourselves of our role as our community of believers towards those struggling with loneliness. So friends, what is the psalmist going through? Now, when I was a younger Christian, I was taught a formula for prayer. We first start with thanksgiving, by thanking God for the goodness in our lives. And this is usually followed by a confession of sin, before we then move on into a time of petition and praying for others. But friends, this is a prayer for normal times. But in desperate times, I bet most of us would not follow a formula of prayer, but rather we will go straight to the point. And we can see that in this psalm, because firstly, the psalmist starts off by calling God the God of his salvation. But friends, if you look at the rest of this psalm, we see that there is no process of salvation. And maybe there is none at all. And indeed, this first verse is perhaps the only positive thing about this psalm. And it's also the only positive thing that the psalmist has to say about God. That despite whatever he's going through, he recognizes that the Lord is still the one who saves. But then the psalmist then goes on a rant. He mentions that he's been calling out to the Lord day by day and time after time, only to be met by silence. That despite his consistency in crying out to the Lord in desperation, there is still no answer. And from the words of his psalm, we know what he's going through is difficult, that in his life, he has met with many troubles, and indeed, these troubles have caught up with him, for he mentions that he is about to die. But worse than this, he mentions that he has been left among the dead, and that he is forgotten. Friends, here the psalmist has mentioned that he has not only suffered much, but right now, he is about to die alone. And moving forward, we then see his frustration because the psalmist then begins to blame God. He accuses the Lord of this. God, you have thrown me into the lowest pit. God, your wrath has weighed me down. Wave after wave, you have engulfed me and you have driven away my friends from me. Now, church, these are the words of a very angry and a very cynical man. And in his prayer, he begins to blame God for his years of suffering and the circumstances he finds himself in. Now, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, maybe once or twice in our life, we have been upset and angry with God. But I think even in our anger, not many of us would choose to blame God. So here when we see that the psalmist is blaming everything on God, we know that he is really angry.
But friends, I believe that this tells us something about the God that we worship, that He knows us human beings. And in our humanness, He allows us to voice our anger and frustrations to Him. Friends, how many of us are angry this morning? Maybe you have been wronged by someone. Maybe you have been hurt or betrayed by someone. Maybe you have been going on and you just can't catch a break. Maybe your health is suffering, or maybe spiritually you're in a dry space. Maybe you look back at your circumstances and the challenges coming your way and you are angry. You are upset. Friends, the Bible tells us this, that it is okay. It is okay to be angry with God. And friends, if you are angry with God, may I encourage you to be like the psalmist, to continue to vent, to continue to raise your anger, your frustration, your concerns with the Lord. For as raw, as unpleasant, as uncomfortable as it sounds, it is still an authentic prayer. It's still an authentic cry to the Lord. Now, in the next part of the psalm, we see that the psalmist turned from anger to pure desperation. And his next words are filled with sarcasm as he tries to reason with God, because he claims that if he dies, God stands to lose as well. For if he dies, God has failed to be glorified. That when he dies, no one will praise the Lord. No one can proclaim his faithfulness, and no one can boast about God's wonderful deeds. Here, what he's trying to say in desperation is that he's better off alive to God than he is dead. Now, I am sure we have watched movies where a person makes a plea to a higher being for an extension to their life when death is imminent. And they usually say things like, I will go to church for the rest of my life, or I will read the Bible every day, or I will give so and so to charity. Friends, while if this is a form of blackmail, or at the very least trying to bargain with God, it's easy for us to be drawn to the negativity of the psalmist. But friends, here I want to remind us of the context, of the person of the psalmist, that this call, that these words of desperation reveals how desperate and angry he is. Now, from anger to desperation, now he moves on to being apathetic. For his final words is that he has been sick and close to death since he was a young man. He is helpless and desperate before the affliction of our Lord. He's been overwhelmed, and they have engulfed him completely. Here, the psalmist seems to have given up. Now, for those of you who have been in argument with your spouse, I don't know about you, but I prefer the raising of voices, the loudness and the intensity of the argument, rather than stone-cold silence. Because when your spouse stops yelling and becomes apathetic, you know you are in serious trouble. And likewise, the psalmist here has enough. He has shown anger, he has shown desperation, and now he's apathetic about his situation. He seems to accept his fate, but not in a good way. Rather, it seems that he has given up. And he ends the psalms with these words, that above all his sufferings, God has taken away his companions and loved ones. Despite him already suffering from sickness, what hurts him the most is when he needed friends, family, community. They aren't there for him anymore. There is nobody with him walking this lonely journey. There is nobody to share his sufferings with him. There is nobody to help, to pray, to empathize, or to even comfort him. Now here, the psalmist is clear with his disappointment. He blames God for this unfortunate situation, and he ends the psalm not with hope, but with pure bitterness. For the psalm ends with these words, "Darkness is my closest friend." Let me repeat, "Darkness is my closest friend." Now, church, pay close attention to these words and to what it actually means. What the psalmist is actually saying is that darkness is a better companion. Darkness is a better comforter. Darkness is a better friend than God himself. Now, remember, he starts off the psalm by calling God the God of his salvation. But after expressing his anger and frustration, he ends the psalm bitter. And he mentions that darkness is kinder to him than the Lord. Now the psalm ends here. There is no words to explain, to justify, or to even comfort the psalmist. And the psalm ends on this very bitter and disturbing note. Now, many years ago, when I first read the psalm, I felt it to be very disturbing. I wanted to know, where was God? Did the psalmist actually find salvation? Did he die a bitter and angry man? My friends, today, I actually find comfort that this psalm is in the Word of God. I find comfort that this psalm is included in the Bible. You see, at the beginning of this year, I heard a new gym was going to open near my house. Now, this gym was advertised to be an exclusive, state-of-the-art gym, that it was going to have a huge space and it would be fully equipped with the latest equipment. So after hearing all these things, despite it being 300 ringgit above my budget, I signed up for it. But when it opened a few months later, actually, I was kind of disappointed. I mean, it wasn't the worst gym in the world, but it was not as grand or spacious or exclusive as it was advertised to be, and even the equipment was only so-so. So friends, it's actually normal for us when we want to sell something that we will try to decorate it nicely, to overpromise, to hide its faults. But friends, here the existence of this psalm in the Word of God tells us something, that the Bible, the Word of God, does not aim to sell itself. It doesn't aim to portray a false expectation of life, that when you become a Christian, you will not face any problem or any suffering and that your life will be a bed of roses. No, this psalm tells us that in life, we will go through difficulty, we will go through suffering, and some of us will be lonely. Friends, this is a fact of life, that this psalm reminds us that in our world, not everything is perfect, and sometimes, we don't have an answer for everything. The fact that this psalm is in our Bible tells us that as Christians, we are allowed to be upset. We are allowed to be disappointed, and that many of us struggle with many things, including loneliness. Now, there is another book in the Bible which also echoes the words of this psalm. I think most of us are familiar with the book of Job, that when Job lost his family, his wealth, and his health, he got angry with God, and his friends who were supposed to comfort with him then reasoned with him. They tried to defend God. And at the end of the book, we see something very unique. We see that God actually commends Job, and God rebukes his friends. Church, here is a lesson for us, that in our world, that in our community, we have people who are lonely, who are angry, who are disappointed with God. And friends, when they come to us for comfort, let us be reminded what Elder Yifeng said a few months ago. Let us be reminded that humans are allowed to be upset with God. Let us be reminded of the existence of this psalm and the book of Job. Let us not defend God needlessly or try to give a reasonable defense about theodicy or suffering. Let us not sugarcoat things. Let us not give false hope. Friends, when we are angry and disappointed, we are allowed to voice out what we truly feel. And if a friend comes to us, our role is to listen, to empathize, and to be there for them in these moments of desperation. Remember the ending of the psalm, that above all his sufferings, the psalmist suffered the most because he was alone in his struggle. So friend, if your friend approaches you with their struggles, at the very least, let us not deprive them of companionship and empathy. And friends, if you are a victim of this, I want to let you know that we are sorry. I want to let you know that we are wrong, because I know that I myself am guilty of this sometimes. Sometimes I talk when I should listen. Sometimes I downplay other people's problems and feelings. Sometimes, because of impatience, I say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Friends, if you have suffered from these things, I want to let you know that we are sorry, that sometimes in our emotional zeal or frustration or in our moment of weakness, maybe we have hurt you with our words or actions. And a prayer that I have for us is to learn to be more patient, to have wisdom, to depend on the Lord, and to grow in empathy. Friends, we ask that you forgive us, that you allow us to be better, that you allow us to grow in being a better friend, a better companion, and a better disciple of Christ. Let me return back to the end of the psalm. Now, as the psalmist cries out for friends, or companionship in his moments of struggles. While we do not know if he would find one before his days are over, we know that in our world today, we know that there are many of us who are in the same position as the psalmist. I believe that there are some of us who are here this morning who can resonate with the words and the emotions of this psalmist. And you have for a long time, or maybe in this season of life, you feel hopeless and you feel lonely. And I also believe that there may be many circumstances that will have caused you to feel this way. Maybe if you're a young person and in your schools, you are bullied or left out. Maybe you're in college or university or in your workplace, sometimes you feel that you don't belong. Maybe you are struggling with mental health. Maybe you're taking care of someone who is struggling with mental health. Maybe you feel hopeless, that nobody understands how you feel, that you are alone in your journey. Maybe a relationship that was once meaningful to you has ended. Maybe you're no longer on good terms with a family member, a lover, a friend, because of a disagreement or argument. Maybe you have gone through a bad breakup, a divorce. Maybe you lost someone you love. Maybe you feel rejected. Maybe you feel useless. Maybe you feel hopeless or alone. Now, friends, if you are like this, I want to acknowledge your feelings, your pain, and your struggles. I want to pray for you that one day things will get better. I want to assure you that as a church or cell group, we want to strive to be there for you. We want to strive to keep you in our thoughts and prayers. We want to strive to be equipped so we can minister to you. Friends, this is the purpose of the church. We are not just called to bring hope to the world, but we are called to encourage, to exhort, and to help one another. It's no wonder why the early church focused on helping the widows of Jerusalem. For in those days, widows were unable to find a job. And because nobody helped them, the church stepped in. It's no wonder why Paul mentions that when one part of the body of Christ suffers, the whole body suffers. It's no wonder why our Lord Jesus himself tells us that we are his disciples by our love for one another. Friends, in our world, we will go through dark and difficult times. And my exhortation is for our church and cell group to have conversation and ideas on how we can be a better community for the lost and lonely. Now, church, I have to say that some of our cell groups are doing an excellent job already. But my prayer is that we always learn to be always aware, and that we always learn to look out for the lonely people in our world, that we learn to show them Christian community and care. Now, I want to end the service with one more question. That in this depressing and difficult psalm, where is God? Where is God in this psalm? Now, church, although this psalm leaves us with this question, I want to point us to the New Testament in the time where our Lord Jesus himself walked through the valley of darkness and where he had to walk alone. For in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew the challenges that lay ahead. He knew that he would be tortured. He knew he would be abused. And he knew that he would be condemned to die a painful and shameful death. But friends, it wasn't this that scared him. Rather, it was the fact that he knew that when he would bear the sins of the world, the Father would turn his face away. And at that very instant, this close, intimate, and perfect relationship that has been there since the beginning of time will be severed or affected, to say the least. Because God the Father cannot tolerate sin, Jesus, God's Son, would have to go through this difficult journey alone. And friends, in that very garden and on the cross, our Lord Jesus knew what it means to truly be alone. Now, friends, in today's world, we humans, we love quick fixes. We love to have answers for everything. But friends, we are actually thankful that as Christians, one thing that we can be thankful for is that we worship a God who knows what it means to be human. We worship a God that can relate to us. And while we live in this world, humans will have to face loneliness. But friends, this is why Jesus Christ came to our world. For in the world to come, we will be reunited with our loved ones. We will have hope, and we will have communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people of God until the end of time. Friends, in our world, we will always have people who are lonely. We will always have people who are hopeless. And our role in the as the church is to provide a safe space, a community for them, to give them hope and a little peek at the perfect world which is to come. In a short moment, we will have the closing song. But this morning, I don't want us to leave this place without being ministered to. Friends, some of us today might be facing what the psalmist is saying and might be facing what the psalmist is feeling. And I want to take this time to say a prayer for you. Now, friends, if this is you, if you can resonate with the psalmist, may I ask that as the song is played later, that you spend some time at the feet of Jesus. You can say a prayer. You can pray this psalm, or you can just be silent. My brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus knows your pain. Our Lord Jesus knows your anger. Our Lord Jesus knows what you're going through. So friends, may I ask that you sit at his feet in silence. And in a short moment, I will pray for you. And for those of us that might have the privilege of not being lonely, may I ask that you also sit at the feet of our Lord, that you ask him to reveal to you a friend, a colleague, a family member, or a church member that is facing loneliness. Pray for the Spirit of God to give you empathy and wisdom. Say a short prayer for them, and also think of how you can help them in the way that you can. Friends, may I ask us to spend some time at the feet of our Savior, at the feet of the one who knows what true loneliness is. During this time, the worship team will be leading us in a song. May I ask that we don't stand for this song? And if you don't feel like singing, it's okay. But friends, may I ask that you let the words of this song, the prayers of our brethren, and the power of the Holy Spirit minister to you in your own way. Let us spend some time in the presence of our Savior. O Lord, God of our salvation, we cry out to you by day. We come to you at night. Now listen to our prayer. Listen to our cry. For our lives are full of trouble. And for some of us, death draws near. For some of us, we are as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left us among the dead, and we lie like a corpse in a grave. We are forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrown us into the lowest pit, into the darkest depth. Your anger weighs us down, and wave after wave you have engulfed us. You have driven our friends away by making us repulsive to them, and we are in a trap with no way of escape. Our lives are blinded by tears. Each day we beg for your help, O Lord. We lift our hands to you for mercy. Are your wonderful deeds of any use to the dead? Do the dead rise up and praise you? Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? Can they proclaim your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Can the darkness speak of your wonderful deeds? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? Oh Lord, we cry out to you. We will keep pleading day by day. Lord, why do you reject us? Why do you turn your face away from us? Some of us have been sick and close to death since our youth, and we stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed us. Your terrors have paralyzed us. They swirl around us like flood waters all day long, and they have engulfed us completely. You have taken away our companions and loved ones. Darkness is our closest friend. Our Father in heaven, the God of our salvation, this morning we ask that you listen to the prayer of your children. You know those among us who are lonely. And Lord, I want to commit you to them. We want to pray for those who feel like they did not belong, those who face bullying of any kind, those who are socially ostracized. Friends, Father, Lord, I ask that you be with them, that you protect them, that you give them friends. Lord, have mercy. We want to pray also for those who do not have much friends, who are looking for partners, for companionship, and for a community. Father, we ask that, Lord, you will guide them to these spaces, that you provide for our friends in need. Lord, have mercy. We want to pray for those who feel lonely because they have lost a friend, whether it's by arguments or misunderstanding or whether they have to relocate. friends. We ask that you mend the hearts of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Allow them to heal. Allow them to grieve. Lord, have mercy. Father, we want to pray for those who have lost a loved one, who has had death rob us of someone we love. Father, we ask that you be with my brothers and sisters. Heal their hearts and souls and bring them restoration and hope. Lord, have mercy. We want to pray for those who are struggling with poor mental health, who feels that no one understands them, who feels that their struggles have no end. Have mercy on my brothers and sisters. Be their hope, be their rock, and be their strength. Lord, have mercy. We want to pray for those who are spiritually lonely, who are going through the dark night of the soul. Father, we ask that you reveal yourself to them once again, that you reignite the fire that once was, so that they may experience communion with you. Lord, have mercy. Father, we want to pray for those who are lonely for other reasons, and you, Lord, know who they are. And you acknowledge their feelings, their hurt, and their frustrations. Father, we ask that all who are lonely will find community, healing, and care. And we pray that we, as your church, will use our resources, our time, our love to minister to the lonely. Father, help us to love. Help us to care. Help us to empathize. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.